I was young. And,
well, at that time, I felt that I took birth in a world that I didn't ask for, that I didn't create. And I had to sort of fit into a system that was already there before I came into this world. And I had to find my place, and I had to find a way that I could sort of fulfill my goals and at the same time be part of it. Like, for example, in school. Okay, there was a discipline I had to follow. There were things I had to learn that was imposed upon me. At the same time, there were things I wanted to do, things I wanted to be. And I had to find some way. So that's life. Life is to find your way into a world that we didn't make, but that we were born into, a system that we didn't make. But within that system, we all have to find our way. What is it? Especially when I kind of hit that age, 13, then that became a big question. What do I want? And yeah, so many things I have to do. The same kind of thing we saw before. In my case, one thing I really didn't like was when my father used to say, "Son, life is a compromise." That was something that was like giving up before you had even started to try for the ideal. I was always an idealist, and still today, I am an idealist. My father is late, you know, these days. I mean, not just late for the program, but really late for me. You know what I'm talking about. So he won't be coming today. But anyhow, so my father, yeah, if I would meet him now, I would say the same thing, you know. He would say, "Son, life is a compromise." And I would say, "Maybe for you it is, but for me it's not." Yeah. So how can I say such a thing? How can I say that life is not a compromise when you have to do so many things that you never asked for? But you have to, because of the circumstances. You can't just do what you want. So how can I say that life is not a compromise? So, no, of course, it's true. I have to do things like everyone else. Things I'm obliged to by my environment. That is there. There are laws, there are rules, there are so many restrictions imposed upon me that I didn't ask for. But I have to play along. Otherwise, too much trouble. So, isn't life a compromise? My father would say. I'd say no. Life is not a compromise, Dad. You know, who is Dad, actually? I would say it is not a compromise because I haven't sacrificed my ideal. I haven't sacrificed my dream. If you don't have a dream, then you are compromised. If you don't have something to really believe in and strive for, then are we really living? Then are we going anywhere? Then one has given up before we even tried. One time I was in a program, and before me there was a Russian clown of the Russian state circus. And they're good, you know, these Russians, and I mean, experts. So he was spinning balls around on his fingers, and seated on a chair on his toes, and he had one on a stick on his nose. Which, you try that, you know. Even DJ Palance would have a hard time with that. Although he's talented, I must grant him that. You know. Even that little bit was good, you know. We got a taste for more. So the clown was juggling these balls in a very expert way, and I was supposed to speak after. And I remember he inspired me. He inspired me to think of the stream of opportunities. There's an endless stream of opportunities, one coming after the other. And you know, when you're young, you grab a few, one, two, three, four, spin them around, bounce them here, there, and play. But time moves along. Time moves along, and the playfulness disappears, and one becomes more purposeful. One goes for that ball, which is the good one. And you know it's a good one. Got it. Next opportunity coming. Good. Got it. Like that. Until time moves along and age sets in. And then the opportunities keep going, but the older person cannot keep up and lets one go, lets two go, and says, they weren't that good anyway. And in the end, two old people sitting on a bench, looking at the stream of opportunities, and one says to the other, that was a good one. So, what I'm depicting here is the influence of time. In the ancient text from India, the Bhagavad Gita, that same point is made in a Sanskrit verse, which I will now recite to you. Deinusmin yata dehe kumaram yoganam jara tata dehantara pratir diras tata namoyati. The Sanskrit words mean the following, that from childhood to youth to old age, we are changing our bodies in the same way. We are changing life after life. But the wise are not disturbed by such a change. So yes, this changing, this changing is happening, right? This changing is going on. And in youth, all the opportunities are there, so many, and we have so much energy. The question though is, how to direct it? How to direct it? Because we may be confused. What to do? What to choose? It is true. In youth, there are many choices. You have to choose, at one point you have to choose a profession. Oh my God. And what am I going to choose? I don't know. You have to study something. What to choose? And I didn't know. I had no idea. When it was my time to study, I scratched my head and said, what do I want to study? And I tried the not this approach. No, definitely not this. Definitely not that. Definitely not this. Definitely not that. Definitely not. Definitely nothing. In the end, it was nothing. What to do was difficult. Well, okay, I found my way. It was different than my father and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather and many generations back. It was different. Although in one sense it's not different, because I am originally from the Netherlands, and look at the color. So something from our tradition I kept, the color, orange, from the Netherlands. I still have that. But that's about all that I have in common with my ancestors, with my grandparents, my father, and so on. I made a turn. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. And I wouldn't say everyone would make such a turn, but I did. Because I felt I had to go the way of my heart. And this is ultimately what I want to speak about, to go the path of the heart. If we walk the path of the heart, the path that we really believe in, then your life is a life. Whereas when we walk the path that everyone expects us to walk and that others have thought out for us. We may walk it, but we may never be happy. So, this beginning of idealism, it begins there, to walk the path of the heart. That is good. But we may all be individuals and, okay, I chose a somewhat colorful way of life. Others may choose something else. But still, if we choose an ideal, then we take life to another level. So my travels took me to the east, to India, and I was there. And I liked India because they were asking deep questions about life. And I have a story to tell of what I saw there. And I just told it a few days ago and it's still fresh in my mind. But actually, one day I was in the city of Benares in India. And suddenly, unexpectedly, I came out of my hotel in the morning and there was a dead body lying in the street. Well, I don't know how it is in South Africa if you have such things, but in Holland we don't. You never see something like that. I had never seen anything like it. And in India, an old man, clearly dead, was lying there and people were walking past. They were just walking past. And I looked at him in disbelief and then I saw that he was a beggar who had been there the day before in the street. I'd seen him. People walked past and everyone was throwing some coins on the body and within about 10 minutes the whole body was covered in coins. I was like looking at this. This man was a beggar. I said, now he's dead. Now they're buried in money. This is more money than he's ever seen in his whole life. If they would have given it to him yesterday, maybe he was still alive. Anyway, I asked a local, what's going on? Someone told me. He said that when a person dies, then that person goes out of the body. And then he floats over his body. And he's trying to go back inside, but he cannot. People are saying, he's gone, quick. He's saying, oh, I'm here. But no one can hear him. And he cannot go back into the body. So that was amazing to hear. He said, yes, but why are you throwing coins on the body? They said, because when the person... he's trying to go back, but he has to move on to his next destination. So everyone gives some money, then they can buy firewood so they can burn the body. And then he's forced to go to the next destination. Well, phew, that was food for thought. It was different, very different than my own country. I had traveled far. I had traveled by bus for 3 weeks, 10,000 kilometers away from home, to encounter that situation. It blew my mind, you can imagine. I think it would have blown yours too. And I was there thinking about it. I was thinking, first of all, basically they say that the living being continues to exist after death. That he leaves this body and that he continues to exist. And that I found interesting. It's sort of, I could kind of relate to that. I always felt it. I always felt that there had to be something more than just this, you know, body made of flesh and bones and so on, some skin and some hairs. And yes, so later I read spiritual texts and then I read about the soul and that the soul is the life-giving force and that it is the soul that goes within the body, and then the body moves. And then when there's no soul, the body no longer moves. And that is all. And thus, therefore, that has many consequences. In the East, they believe in reincarnation. Where I'm from, they don't. In my country, they think reincarnation. Why? What an idea. Why in India do they believe in reincarnation? It doesn't make sense at all from a Dutch perspective. Why? What logic? But then I found out one day what was behind it. And what was behind it was that desire. Because at the end of life, sorry, your time's up. Oh no, doctor, there must be something you can do. I need a few more years. I'm not ready to go yet. Yes, who is? Who's finished when he's finished? Nobody. Everyone has still so much to do. And that's life. Yes, therefore this desire, it says in the Vedic text of India, this desire carries us again to a next birth, the desire we have at the end of life. And then it says, according to desire and according to karma, we take different birth. One life, this body from the Netherlands with orange as my color, or another life as Mr. Green, right? Yeah. Who did a great dance on the chair. I gotta hand it to him. Whatever it was pretty cool. Absolutely. Yes. Different birth, different lives. Sometimes male, sometimes female. All these changes are possible. Because what is the difference between us, actually? Externally, we're all different. Look at your neighbor. Looks different than the mirror. Did you look in the mirror this morning when you brushed your teeth? Look at your neighbor. Doesn't look like you. Very different. No. Look a little deeper. Look a little deeper. Inside, there's the same soul. Same soul. Same. No difference at all. The very same soul, but within different bodies. Because we all have different desires. We are all desiring. We all want happiness, the same happiness everybody wants, competing for it. My elbow keeps you out of the way because I want the happiness. No, I want it. We'll fight over it, but in the end, everyone wants happiness, everyone. So, because that desire for happiness, that is the quality of the soul. That is the quality of the soul. And that quality of the soul is present in all of us. And therefore, what is the difference between you and me? Only external. We may look different. Yes? Grant you that. In the morning, when you look in the mirror, you say, good morning, handsome. And now you look at your neighbor, and then comes the mind.
And we think, well, gosh, this person looks strange. It's strange. Yeah, different, you know? Different. Yeah, really, my neighbor looks different. Different, yeah.
Look at your neighbor. Your neighbor looks different, for sure.
Everybody looks different.
Yeah. Very different. Yeah. So yes, we all look different, we all are very different. Yeah. Different taste, you know? Different taste, some people, you know, they yeah, some people love fruits, others hate fruits, you know. Different tastes, you know? Different natures. But deep down, we are all the same. And that is the one thing that binds us. And that is why we are here today. We saw some nice clips. I really liked the clip of Together. That was cool. That was a very good clip. I want that clip from my friend Hari there. That was a nice clip. The ants and the ball was pretty smart. And then at the end, the crabs, they all come together, and that bird, and they trimmed his feathers really nicely. That was very smart. Together. But what brings us together? What brings us together is because we are together, because we all have actually the same fundamental desire. We are actually very much the same. There's this cartoon, and there's two people, it's for the psychologists, and there's two people, and they're sitting next to each other, and you see above their head the thought bubbles, you know? And in the thought bubbles, they're hiding their most secret thoughts from each other. They sit next to each other, hiding their secret thoughts. Huh? And they cannot look into each other's bubbles. But we can. We see both the bubbles. And what do you see in the bubbles? Exactly the same. Exactly the same. They're hiding the same desires from each other. Because everybody is basically the same. Sometimes, you know, when we speak about people's inner feelings, then they say, how do you know? You know, because I have the same inner feelings. I know my own. I know my own feelings, therefore I know yours also. Basically, human beings and even animals all have the same soul. Wherever there is life, there is a soul. Even in a plant. And therefore all life is like us. So the scriptures of the world have a common message. And the common message is that one should not do to others what you don't want to be done to yourself. And that's very deep. Think about that. But it's a good principle, you know. I mean, what you don't want someone to do to you, don't do that to others. And if you just follow that, then everything comes right. And that's the key for being together. That first of all, we don't do to others what we don't want to be done to ourselves, because that will create an atmosphere of live and let live. And that is required if we want to be together. So together we have our strength. There is no doubt about it. We are stronger than alone. That message we take home, and that message is there. But what brings us together, what really brings us together, is when we can realize that we are not just these bodies. Because the bodies are different. Like our presenter was speaking with different accents, right? I can do many European accents for you. I like to practice it, and each accent is carrying a different mood. It is not only what to say, a different accent, but it is a different mentality. If you understand what I'm trying to say, very different from, for example, a German accent, where we are speaking clear and to the point and organized and very structured. Different moods, different mentalities. So people are very different, and yet within all these differences, there is the same soul. Then, how can we come together with our differences? That is only possible on one level. That's only possible on one level. We can only be together when we have a common goal. Then we are together. When we have different goals, then we are not together. Not at all. Yeah, it's like, then we're in competition. But if we have a common goal, then we can be together. So yeah, what's the common goal? Make money. No, that's not the common goal. Some people think that is the common goal, and then we have an economic alliance to make money, the common goal. No, that's not the common goal. The common goal can only be that all of us, that all of us should be happy. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita explains Suridam Sarvadehinam to be the well-wisher of all living beings. Or it means that our happiness, my happiness, should include the happiness of all. Not only my happiness for me, no, my happiness and your happiness as well. Then it's complete. Then we are looking at a full definition of happiness. And then that happiness will increase. If my happiness includes your happiness, yes, then we'll also make each other happy. If it's my happiness and your misery, then you'll be looking at me and I'll make sure that you will suffer for that and I'll get you back. That doesn't work. Exploitation. So the only way that we'll have a peaceful world and an inspiring world is when my happiness includes your happiness. How to do that? It's impossible. It's impossible. It's like, you know, try to live in peace with your brother and your sister. I tried. I have a brother and a sister. We were always fighting, you know, because my mother, she had this photo album, and in one of the first pictures, I had a tower of blocks, almost as high as the highest tower that was built, you know, today. Yeah? And I built this tower, and in the next picture, my sister had all the blocks. And I'm kind of looking like, with an expression on my face, and I look at that photo, and the expression on my face said, she did it again. I can't believe it. And that was our relationship, somehow or other. So what to do? How to, even in the family, there wasn't peace. So how can we, as the youth of the world, take on this ideal, this great ideal, where we say, we are accepting the happiness of all, not just my own, but my happiness includes the happiness of all. I said, it can be done, it's possible, but only on one condition, when we have a common goal. And a common goal, Raja, that's not hard to find, but it cannot be found on this earth. Because on this earth, when we look at earthly things, we all have different goals. One wants a BMW, another one wants a Mercedes, another one wants a plane. We want so many things. Therefore, the only way we can find a common goal, if it's a spiritual goal. And that's what can bring us together. When we are putting a spiritual goal as the highest, we're not gonna have religious wars here today. That's not our aim. We all come from various backgrounds, and that's fine. But behind these backgrounds, there is a concept of God. And with the concept of God, it is possible to unite. Not in any other way. With the concept of God, it is possible to find solutions for the world. Because when I see that person who is very different from me is sincerely dedicated to God, and if I'm also trying to be, then even though we're so different, we can appreciate each other, you see. That's how we can overcome differences. Otherwise, differences can never be overcome. Not so easy. Not so easy. Because we look at each other as being strange. But true brotherhood can be found when I see that my brother, who is different, is really trying to do something wonderful. And when everyone is trying to do something wonderful, something selfless, that's only possible through a spiritual solution. Well, let me make it a little more practical for you. You know, these days, they talk a lot about the environment. They talk a lot about the pollution. They talk a lot about global warming. They talk a lot about the acid rains and oceans and all these things. They talk about it. And they have conferences. Remember, some years ago in South Africa, we had a big environmental conference. Did you hear about it? So many people came. And what they concluded is the only way we can stop this pollution if people stop being selfish, if they include everyone else in their happiness. That is only possible when we have a spiritual goal. Therefore, the only way we'll clean up the environment is with a spiritual goal. Here in South Africa, you know, have you seen these HIV, anti-HIV campaigns, right? Love Life type of things, you know? And there was a billboard in Durban some years ago, which I kind of took a mental picture of, and it said, "When you go casual, dress formal." And it was about a condom campaign. Yes, big billboard, you know. When you go casual, dress formal. That's what it was about. That was a classic, you know. It was a classic, right? And anyway, then, you know, it didn't work. It didn't work. I mean, you know, HIV still spread, and AIDS is still one of the problems that the world is facing. One of the problems that you also have to deal with, a world in which you live. Then they had a conference in Manila where the experts of the world came together. And they were saying that condom campaign, it didn't work. It didn't work. Boys are boys, girls are girls, and you know, what to do? That didn't work. So then they finally said the only thing that will work is abstinence. If young people will not just have free relationships, everybody with everybody, but if they actually wait for marriage, how can you do such a thing? Very difficult. No, one could do if one has a spiritual ideal. Therefore, only spiritual wisdom can help us in dealing with the problems of today. So actually, this whole idea of prayer, of scripture, of church or temple or mosque is not just something outdated. It is actually something that gives us a grip on the real problems of life. How to live together in peace. How to overcome major problems in the world, such as environmental issues, such as diseases, and so on, like HIV. The answer to all these things is a spiritual answer. Because only that, if we are all having the same dedication in this world and put God in the center of our life, then actually we can be happy. And not only happy by ourselves, but happy altogether. And that is a deeper message which I want to share with you. You know, the keynote speaker generally has to give the deeper meaning of the function. So you bear with me, share a few serious thoughts with you, see what it does for you. To lighten things up now, I'll move into the next part of the program. Earlier on we had some gospel, and I liked it very much. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan, and I'm not the only one. I think all of us, even those who were not fans, became fans today. It was very nice. I really liked it. So, once again, an applause for the gospel singers. Well, I also like music, and I brought my little hand organ with me, and gonna try and do some mantra singing with you. This mantra singing is the tradition of India. It is spiritual sound, sacred music, which lightens up the whole atmosphere, and well, it's one of the things I do, and that would be a further contribution to this this wonderful program, which I liked very much. So I need some accompanying instruments. I need a drum, D-R-U-M, drum.